This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, third hour. What's happening on this Saturday? Hopefully everybody's doing well. Hanging in, hanging on. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Hang on, Tiki. I've had a little issue with my audio. Tiki, say something there, bud.
Yep. What's up, man?
Okay, got it. Cool.
Yep.
Had a little issue with that. Obviously, we're doing our shows from our homes. It's all good. I got to throw you a little 30-second proud dad moment from this morning. You ready?
Go ahead.
This is cool. Now I want to get back to this Pippen stuff. So when I was young, our Saturday routine was obviously Little League and then the baseball bunch. This is in the 80s. Baseball bunch. And this week in baseball, and then the game of the week on NBC with Joe Garagiola, right?
Yep.
And that's really the only time every week that you would get a chance to watch the out-of-town games. Matter of fact, true story, I remember watching, I guess it would have been the 84 season, Jack Morris threw a no-hitter. I believe it was against the White Sox, but it was definitely in Detroit as a Tiger. And I remember watching that game on the game of the week. Is that insane? Like 1984, I'm 9 years old. But anyway, what I used to love doing is this week in baseball, they had this theme. And it was like, and they had this montage, right?
Okay.
They'd have a montage of all the players from that era. You'd have like Ozzie Smith. You'd have Steve Garvey, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Pete Rose, you know, Dave Winfield. And I would run around my basement. It was like a tile, like it was like a slippery tile. And I would emulate hitting and throwing and sliding across, you know, like home plate. So long story short, this morning, yeah, it's pouring here. There's nothing to do. We take a little BP in the basement. Hung out with Kinsley, obviously, this morning, my daughter. And I'm like, let me just throw this on. So I go on YouTube, I stream it on the TV, and I find the baseball, the This Week in Baseball theme, right? And there's an elongated one. It's like 9 minutes, so it's just going on. And don't you know, Colton, I didn't tell him, Colton starts running around, sliding, emulating, as guys were like jumping over fences. He was pretending he was scaling a fence to catch the ball. It was pretty awesome, man.
Nice, nice. It now really you gotta do is hope that baseball comes back for him this year. So God, he can actually enjoy it in real time.
Teak, I need some baseball, bro. Doing well without baseball. I miss it. It just sucks. Baseball is, there's a void. And that's something Teak and I'll squeeze in a little later in the show. Baseball's playing in addition to the streamlined NBA plan. But let's get back to this Pippen stuff. Like, there's no way that Fielding's weren't going to get hurt. I mean, whether it was an ancillary part of the team, you know, some obviously Krause was a target. Maybe there was, like, I don't know, some under-the-radar issue with Phil Jackson that came to light. Of all the things that I would not expect would be to watch 10 hours of Jordan documentary and walk away with any fraying of the edges between Pippen and Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
like under no circumstances.
There shouldn't be, because he was so integral. Without Scottie Pippen, six doesn't happen. Maybe they get one or two, but they're not winning six and two three-peats the way that they did. It's interesting too, BT, because I remember reading this earlier this week when we were dissecting why Pippen should be has a right to be upset with this. Now, let's not forget, Jordan left the Bulls to go play baseball for two seasons. And in those two seasons, Scottie Pippen was left kind of in the lurch, and he had to take on a significantly increased role to become the man. And they get to the playoffs. They play the New York Knicks. This incident happens. They talk about it in the locker room, and it's dead. And then they go on and they beat the Knicks in seven series.
Knicks win that series.
I mean,
that was 94. That was without Jordan. Yeah, Knicks were up 2 games to none in that series. Kukoc hits the jump shot with 1.8. The Knicks advance, and the Knicks lose the championship to the Rockets. But the Bulls beat them every other year with Jordan, but that was the year we got them without him. Of course, we beat them without Jordan.
My point is, it doesn't matter, right? Michael Jordan wasn't in this game. So why is it highlighted as such a – and not more importantly, I can understand them losing the game. Mm-hmm. But why highlight the Pippen piece of that for – this documentary on Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Like,
he wasn't part of the team. That's fair.
He wasn't part of the team. Like, you could just say they didn't win the championship when Michael Jordan wasn't here. You can detail what happened and who they lost to, etc. But why dig in on that specific moment, which was let's face it, it was the low point of Scottie Pippen's career, of all the great things that he had and all the, I forget how many years he played ultimately, but he's got 6 championships, right?
Yeah.
Of all of his entire career, that's the one low point. That's the one thing you look at and you're like, Scottie, you shouldn't have done that, man.
Mm-hmm. then he is 25 years later saying he'd do it again,
but
which
it doesn't matter.
Stupid. No, but that does matter.
But why is it even in the documentary? And I think the reason that Scottie is upset is because this is a documentary about Michael Jordan, right? And it's detailing all the great stuff about Michael Jordan. The fact that he was hard on his teammates and he seemingly doesn't have any friends on the team. Who cares? We revel in that because he was a champion, and that's what you had to do back then in order to find a way to beat the Pistons, to beat the Bad Boys. You had to be hard ass, and so Michael Jordan took on that role, right? Champions don't have friends, type of thing. I get it. Why dig in on Scottie Pippen on a team that Michael Jordan wasn't even on? So I get why Scottie's upset, because it's not relevant to this, like, this big picture about Michael Jordan. This is about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but hold
and
on.
Michael Jordan has control over this, so he must have signed off on it. Mm-hmm. And so I get it, man. I get why Scottie's upset.
Well,
I don't think he should be that upset, but I get why he's upset.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you frame it that way, that's a fair way to look at it. But I would put it this way. It's not like it was called, you know, it's not... I know it was about Jordan, obviously, but it wasn't like it was called, you know, MJ, the chronology, or, you know, through the years, MJ. It's called The Last Dance. And on the cover, like the logo, is Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Jordan, Rodman, and Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr's not on the
logo. But go ahead.
No, it was good. So I think to tell the entire story, to get to The Last Dance, which, again, as much as it was about MJ, it was the most extensive probing piece on the Bulls in totality, because they also spoke about Reinsdorf at length, and certainly Krause, we know, and all the transactions and the trades that almost went down and all the other stuff. I don't know that you can depict that entire era without connecting the dots of what the Bulls were like without Michael. And without Michael, the man, as you said, who had worked so hard to become the man and assume the role now that MJ's trying to hit the curveball, well, he was only the man when it was convenient. So how do you piece together the second part of Jordan returning without showing them hitting a lower point without him? I think you have to.
I don't know. I guess so, but I don't think it was on top of people's minds. You know, it's not something that you go back even after you've seen it again. So after rewatching, after like re-experiencing this 8-year period with the Chicago Bulls, I don't look at that moment and say, "Oh man, that was a pivotal point in the history of the Chicago Bulls." I just don't. It feels like it's a really negative point in Scottie Pippen's life, but I don't think it was a pivotal point in the history of the Chicago Bulls, especially during that 8-year period.
I just can't
see it. And so it feels like Pippen was getting picked on to be the anti-hero on the team, even though he wasn't, if that makes sense.
Well, he wasn't, but in that moment, you know, if you're going to illuminate...
But they won the game. You know what I mean?
That,
and they talked about it in the locker room. And it
but
didn't
this is what I don't
again.
Get from you. A guy who played his ass off, a guy who, Your arm basically cracked in half as a rookie back in 97. You were durable as hell. We all know the last 5-6 years you were a great player. A guy that respected the game. How can you – this annoys me. How can you always tell me when we talk about this, how can you minimize one of the all-time great players quitting on his team?
But I'm
how
not.
How can you do that?
Because if it happened in football –
But he did.
If it happened in football, it would be unforgivable because one of 16 matters a lot. And especially if
this
it happened
in a playoff game.
Okay, hold on. And especially if it happened in a playoff game.
Stop. You don't believe what you're telling me right now.
It matters a lot. It happened in a game that they won. It did not happen again, right? And so at the end of the day, I get it. He made a stupid mistake. And it didn't. And they won the game anyways.
Wait, so if Tony Kukoc clanks that off the back rim, you have a different opinion?
Yes,
that's ridiculous.
Absolutely, I do.
But it's not the outcome. It's the premise. It's the action.
It is the outcome. Winning matters. Winning matters.
Stop with this. Why are you riling me up on this again?
I'm not. I'm just telling you the facts. Winning matters. If someone does, I give you the perfect example. This is personal. So in 2002, I think it was. Was it 2002? I can't remember what year it was. We played the Philadelphia Eagles at the end of the season. We had to win the game, right? We had to win, otherwise we're not making the postseason. And we're playing the Eagles, and I'm having a great game. I rushed for 200 yards, I think. This might have been my first 200-yard rushing game of my career. Mm. And
wonder if I bet you guys that week.
I don't know. But if you bet that I was going to put the ball on the ground, you would have won. I fumbled 3 times in this game, BT.
Oh, boy.
3 times. Right, and I can't tell you how despondent I was, but in Phil Dawson missed a field goal at the end. Phil Dawson, I think that that doesn't sound right. It's not Phil Dawson. I can't remember who it was. Their kicker missed the
David
field
Akers.
Goal. David Akers.
Yeah,
missed
man.
A field
David
goal.
Akers.
Right, he missed a field goal at the end of regulation, so we go in overtime. Coach Fossil gives me the ball 6 times in a row, even though I'd fumbled 3 times in this game, and we end up winning the game because he had faith in me. Right. That game, I sucked. I was bad, but we won. And it gets forgotten because we won. If we had lost, do you know how crucified I would have been for costing the game? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and I respect it.
I'm paralleling this. Scottie Pippen sat out the most critical moment of the game.
There's no correlation, though, team. One is performance, and one is
but winning matters. My point is the only thing that matters is winning matters.
That's not true.
It is true.
I mean, it is. Listen, I we're going to get calls on this. I can't believe that people are going to agree with you on this. Now, if you just boil it down to, all right, is winning the only thing that matters, then everybody's going to agree with you. But there's context, there's nuance there. And how you make sure you frame it fair. So how you get to winning does matter, because if Tony Kukoc misses that shot, there's probably a different aura in the locker room. Instead of most of the guys being jubilant, maybe they're not as willing to forgive Scotty. Maybe it carries over. Who knows what the residue would have been? And your comparison with the Eagles, and I get it, but that's a performance thing. This is a lack of professionalism. I mean, you could be a great pro, a diligent pro, and just have a bad day at the office. Name another superstar that's physically
Scotty
quit.
Had a bad day at the office because he felt like he should have been the guy taking the shot.
No, bad day at the office is 3 for 19. An invisible day at the office is when you fail to show up for the final shift. You like that? Let's get Monty in. I'm going to end it on that. Monty's in Canada, and Monty is on Tiki and Tierney. Told a little Scotty Pippen. Monty, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing excellent. It's great to be on your show. It's the first time. I listen to you all the time, and I love your stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
I just wanted to give you my little thing on the Scotty thing there. What that speaks to with how he feels is it's an attack on his character and his leadership, because at the time of that incident, he was the leader. So when you lead like that, they won. It was washed over. But telling the truth later of how you felt and what it was as a professional player is not being wrong. But what he's feeling is an attack on his character and leadership. And, of course, he's pissed off about it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Monty, you a Canadiens fan? Toronto, what part of Canada are you in?
I am in Calgary, which is Western Canada, just beside British Columbia.
I know where it is. So you're a big Flames fan.
And I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan all my life.
Wow, Vancouver.
And I love the Seahawks more than the Canucks.
Okay. So let's take Metcalf. He is a young, blossoming, explosive wide receiver.
That he is.
He is good, boy. A lot better than I thought he'd be this quick.
I didn't see it, dude. Up the yin yang.
I got to tell you, I undersold him.
Yeah, we thought he was a workout guy, and that's it. But he can actually catch the football. But let me ask you this, Monty.
Did you ever see any of the pictures of him?
I've seen them all. He's absolutely shredded. He doesn't even look like a human being.
Exactly. He looks fake.
But Monty, let's say that you guys are playing division rival 49ers, right? You win the game, however you win, whether it's a 53-yard field goal, whether it's a boot by Russell Wilson, that's almost insignificant. You win the game, but on the play that wins you the game, Metcalf did not like the play that was called and left the huddle, and they had to substitute another wide receiver at that point. Or there was a timeout, they were on the bench, ball wasn't going his way, he was petulant, sat out. Now, the next day, Seattle fans would be thrilled with the win, and they'd be calling up.
That's all they would care about.
No, that's not true. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that Metcalf sitting out would overshadow any radio show that's on the air the next day. Guaranteed.
In Seattle? Yes. I agree with you.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. Now, but what I also think is the impact and the way that the game is portrayed, basketball compared to football, to me it's like apples and oranges. Because there's so many players on a football team that can make a difference and make that impact in one shot. But in the basketball game of five guys on the court and your leader quits, the immensity of that situation just overblows anything of what you're trying to say about Metcalf. Mm-hmm. But what would happen with Metcalf is his teammates would go to him in private and they would dummy him up. Mm-hmm. And if he became an all-star and he was a Hall of Famer and that came out, would he be disappointed with his character and leadership at that point? Yes, he would.
And by the way, Monty and Tiki, and thanks for the call there, Monty. Great call. God bless Canada. Hopefully you guys are hanging it up there. You sound like you're doing great. But think about this, though, Teak. Now imagine Metcalf in this fictitious scenario that I just drew up in 25 years staring into a camera and saying, you know what? I'd do the same damn thing. I would have sat out as well. Come on. What's the difference? There's no difference. You're Scottie overthinking it.
If DK Metcalf had a championship or two in his holster by that was a superstar.
Stop.
Had made every play. Scotty played 40 minutes in this game, shot 50% from the field and from 3-point range. And was
what was
Kukoc's
from the
that line.
Game? What did Tony? I don't have Tony stat.
Tony
line.
Was 2-for-6 with 8
so he
points.
Was due.
He was 2-for-6 for 8 points. He played 13 minutes in this game. Scotty Pippen played 40, 10 of 20 from the field, 2-of-4 from 3-point range, 3-from-3 from the line, and was just dominant. Dominant in the game. It's funny, too, because you say dominant back then, it's like 25 points.
Yes, I know.
Like dominant now, it's like, what, they score 50?
I know, it's crazy, dude. I watch, like, whether it's NBA TV or MSG locally, you'll see, like, an old Knick playoff game. You know, Patrick Ewing was dominant. And, by the way, Patrick just tested positive for the COVID virus, so hopefully it looks like he's doing okay. But want to shout out prayers to the big guy. I love Pat. But, like, back in the day, like, Ewing, you know, 23 points and 11 rebounds, you know, propels the Knicks. Because, again, they were only scoring 78 points in a playoff game.
By the way,
still,
that was the only game in the series that was over 100 points for both teams. All the other ones were sub 100.
Always
most
scoring.
Of them were sub 90. It's crazy.
I know. It's crazy. How about the game with the Pacers when Indiana failed to score 60 points?
I know.
I forgot about that.
I did, too.
You know, I forgot
too.
It was that low. And here's
That wasn't, like, grossly unusual.
No, it wasn't, but I actually even forgot about that. Like, and most of those things, especially from that time period, pretty much seared my mind. I forgot it was that low. You know, the other thing, though, about the Pippen stuff, we'll get more calls on this, 855-212-4227. And not just because the shot, you know, found the net and it went through and it was good, but they ran a montage during The Last Dance where Tony Kukoc had 3 or 4 of those last second, you know, catch and shoot, not dribble, no pump fake, no, just get it and go. And he was very adept at that. He was a little looser. Scotty was more of a catch, and his mechanics were very different. So in hindsight, looking at the skill set.
Oh, it was the right call.
Even if it goes off the back iron, his skill set was more natural for that situation.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why Phil Jackson is the greatest coach ever in the NBA.
Man, is he better than Pat Riley? Is he better than Pop? He's right there.
Nine championships, dude.
Yeah, I understand that.
9.
And by the way, shout out to, not shout out, that's not, but condolences for sure to the Utah Jazz family. We hit it a little bit yesterday. Jerry Sloan passed away. He was that may, you know, I don't want to say it, you know, you either get the championship or you don't. But I really feel like of all the coaches that didn't get one, man, he probably deserved one. So
yeah, for as hard-nosed and great as he was, he overlooked was the word we had a guest say yesterday.
Yeah.
He's overlooked.
Yeah.
And you forget until you remember. And you're like, man, they were good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And they didn't have free agents flocking to Utah. It was draft developing.
Yep.
Jerry Sloan, rest in peace. Very good player, too. Played up until the mid-70s with Chicago. Matter of fact, outside of Jiz Amazing, outside of Jordan and Pippen, no other Bull has played more minutes than Jerry Sloan.
Is that right?
Bet you a lot of people didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Story. Yep, that's a fact.
Did not know that.
855-212-4227. We'll tell you what the NBA is thinking. Is it plausible? Tiki and Tierney up until 6 Eastern. More calls coming up. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney. Across the country, CBS Sports Radio. Our number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Teek, you see, this is what, you know what I start doing now, Teek? I got to talk low. This is what, you know what I start doing now? This is where I start planting the seeds, because my goal, as soon as we get off the air at 6, is to be out the door and in my car at 6:02 going to hit golf balls. So that's my goal. So it's been a little bit of a rough day with the kids, and I've been, nice. You know, been kind of been away doing the show.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to finesse this one a little bit, but I think I'll be on the range holding the beer in about 2 hours.
I love it. I love it. It's awesome.
Let's get Paul in New York. What up, Paul? Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, what's up,
BT,
man?
I just want to agree with you on Pippen. You know, I think he's overblowing it.
You know, listen, Paul.
The documentary, It wasn't just about Jordan. It was about the Bulls. He was an integral part of that. You have to show that.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, Paul, if he would have taken a different position, and listen, I was doing an interview at the local college, right? I was doing an interview the other day for their sports station, right? And we're talking about this. I said, listen, guys, when I was your age in college, I mean, there were things I did. Thankfully, nothing too egregious that derailed my life or whatever. Or early in my career, when I look back, I'm like, I could have handled that a little bit more maturely, you know? I mean, but to sit there 25 years later and not know that you quit on your team or not admit it is petulant. It's too stubborn for my taste, and it bothered me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah? No, yeah, you're 100% correct. He's got to admit what he did.
All right, man. Thank you for the call there, buddy. Stefano. See, I would think, like, we get to Stefano. Stefano's in somewhere in New York. Maybe, hey, Stefano's in Philly. Stefano in Wisconsin. What? Let's get Stefano, who's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Stefano? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man? What's up, buddy?
I just want to touch up on the Scotty, you know, on the Bulls. Here's why I think it's even worse that he said all, because Tony Kukoc actually hit the shot. That should tell you, well, this was the right play. So, you know, if Kukoc would have actually missed the shot, then Pippen would have had a bigger case. I say, this is why I should have taken the last shot. For him to come back and say, I would have done the same thing, I think it's, you know, just really selfish. And that's why Michael said he was selfish, and he was right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So hang up and listen.
Well, you know, listen, what I would like to know here,
I don't think Michael said he was selfish because of that.
No, he didn't. He definitely
He was
did.
Selfish because he waited to get his surgery,
mm-hmm.
And wanted to like enjoy the summer. Which, yeah. I mean, yes, it is selfish, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, again, the four aspects of the documentary with Scotty: the contract, the surgery, quitting on the Bulls, and the big performance against Utah with a bad back. So the last thing we saw, you know, he's hailed and rightfully so as a gamer and a hero. Boom, win.
Yep.
The first thing we saw was the contract stuff. Like, jeez, 122nd best player. You're making as much money as the eighth guy on the scrub team? What the hell's equitable about this? Sympathetic figure. Win. So of the two of the four right away, in the court of public opinion, we all had Scotty's back. Now, the surgery, yeah, I can kind of see both ways. If I'm a Bulls fan, it bothers me. From a business point of view, I get it. But quitting on the Bulls is the one thing that's unforgivable.
Yeah, I mean, the surgery, I don't even really mind, because, I mean, sometimes as athletes, you think I'll be fine. It'll be okay. I'll figure it out. You know, I'll get healthy. I can play through it. And then when it's too late, I mean, this happens all the time. You see guys like, why did you wait until like March? Football players, why'd you wait till March to get a surgery?
Yeah.
You know, you knew you had this issue in October. You played through it through December. Why'd you wait till March? Like, it happens all the time. I get that side of it. And again, BT, I'm not forgiving Scottie Pippen for quitting. I understand why he's upset about it, because they won the game. Now, with that being said, you know, Scottie Pippen was an all-time great. And if the biggest takeaway from this documentary, this 10 parts, is that, because it's almost the biggest takeaway from this, because that's what most people are talking about, he has a right to be upset.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Because it wasn't consequential to the Bulls. I mean, it was, but
it was.
Not really. It was in that moment. But
like,
I think in the history of that 8 years, it wasn't that big of a deal.
But I disagree fundamentally, and let me use a different example. I'm going to go to the musical genre for a moment, the world of music. Mm-hmm. Imagine any great iconic band that is on an amazing run, and they're pumping out platinum hits, and they're just selling out Wembley and selling out the Garden. I mean, they're just the top of the heap, absolute icons that have really permeated society. Their lasting imprint is forever known. And then they break up for whatever reason, right? And the lead singer wants to do his own thing. The guitarist is getting a little disgruntled with the creative process, whatever it might be, burnout. And then while one person goes to either scratch an individual itch or just get a little breath, you know, and breathe, the other three guys try to forge forward, maybe with a replacement or maybe without, if it's not the singer, and they don't sound the same. And there's moments where they're expected to carry on the tradition and they stumble. To me, that's what Scotty did. You know, the best member of the band left, and then when it was time to get in front of, you know, 100,000 at Wembley, you didn't feel like playing.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
That's what I'm saying.
And you're right. At the end of the day, though, they weren't good enough to win that year. I mean, that was the semis, right?
That was second round. Yep. They were down 2-0.
Yeah, Eastern Conference semis. They weren't good enough that
No, I agree with that. They weren't good.
Michael Jordan. They weren't winning.
Not the point either.
I agree. Okay, nothing was going to change the fact that they weren't winning two titles without Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The reason that they won six was because they had Michael Jordan. and I think that is the overarching theme. As much as we want to talk about, you know, Jerry Krause's roster construction, which is so downplayed, and it's criminal.
He was brilliant.
It's the one thing that just it bothers me. We talked about this on Monday, BT, after the last episode on Sunday night. The first thing I said to you was, it just bothers me how Jerry Krause is getting no appreciation for constructing this team. All six of them, by the way, because the trade with Winnington to get Cartwright and then Dennis Rodman, and who thinks of these things? He built the perfect teams to win.
He traded Charles Oakley.
That's exactly right. In that era. I mean, Charles Oakley, you kidding me?
Jordan's boy too. They were tight.
That's right. He's like the perfect antidote for the bad boy Pistons. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, why get rid of him? But it was right. It was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, there's a whole history with that 8 year Bulls team. Scottie Pippen was a big part of it, but without Jordan, they're not winning any of it. And even though those 2 years Jordan was gone, Scottie Pippen, you know, took on a leadership role. He played really well, made him into a playoff team. They weren't winning anyways. And, you know, I think to vilify him that much, I get why he's upset. That's all I'm saying. I get why he's upset.
All right. Paulie's in Virginia. Paulie, Tiki, and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Paulie? How you doing today?
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man?
We're all right, man.
Man, with the deep pipes.
First off, I want to say to the Redskin killer, hail to the Redskins.
I grew up a Redskins fan. You know the story. Charlie Casserly, the GM at the time, didn't want to draft me. And I said, that's going to hurt. That's going to haunt you. It did.
Yeah, we all want him to draft you, man.
I appreciate that, especially me.
I crossed paths with you a couple of times back in the day. My best friend, my god brother, y'all played ball together at UVA, man. Pete Allen.
Oh, yeah, Petey. I just did a thing with Petey a couple of...
Hey, Petey.
Yeah, Petey. I told you about Pete, Demetrius. BT against in the Peach Bowl.
Yes,
I won the MVP. I shouldn't have won it because Petey had a touchdown. No, I had two touchdowns.
No, you said he had two.
Two touchdowns, kickoff. Yeah, I was there, Petey.
Yep,
there.
And the kickoff return to win the game. But that's they vote on they vote on the MVP in like the third quarter. So Petey missed out because he scored late. I owe him that. I should give
Petey
him that
got played.
He did, but Petey was the man. But we did a thing just about 2 weeks ago. Sorry to interrupt your story. About 2 weeks ago, the ACC network is allowing the ACC teams to take over the network. And so 2 weeks ago, we were on ESPN reliving that 1995 game against Florida State. And Petey had a big touchdown in that game, too.
And they were all drunk, Paulie. They were all banging back a lot of wine, man.
We were drinking a little bit. But we all got together, and we were on a call, a Facebook call, to talk about that game while they were showing it on TV. It was pretty cool, man. I haven't seen Petey in forever, so it was nice to catch up with him.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a lot of talent on that field that day, man. I remember Georgia quarterback was Hans Woodward.
That's right. That's right. Because he was a wide receiver. I forgot who their starter was, but the starter got hurt. And so Hines Ward played, and he played great, man. He would have won the MVP if they would have won. Exactly.
Scottie Pittman, I think he's acting like a baby. I mean, from what he's acting now is basically a microcosm of his career. I guess he thought that he was going to get a chance to smell his own flowers, and the series didn't exactly, in his mind, you know, give him the fragrances he wanted, but everything was factual. I could see if it was exaggerated or, you know, all opinion-based, but everything they said about him was basically facts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jordan started the whole thing off by saying that he would never achieve any of these championships without him. You know, so I think he just a former Redskin, I'm pretty sure you know him, Fred Smoot, he got this saying, sensitive thugs need a hug. I think Scotty just need a hug right now.
Yeah, I like it. We know Freddie. Good job there, Paulie. Appreciate the call.
That's a good call, Freddie Smoot.
What are the good Freddie Smoot? It's just a good name.
We haven't had him on in a long time. We used to have him on, I remember, like 3 or 4 years ago.
More than that.
Maybe longer, like 5 or 6 years ago. He used to come on all the time. But he's right. I mean, you know, Paulie's right. You know, Scotty, he was given his due. I know why he's upset, but he really was given his due in his documentary.
Just get off the bench, finish the game. Come on. And if you can't do that 25 years later, just say you messed up. It's all, we all mess up. Just take it on the chin, man. Take the L.
And again, we talked about this on, when did we talk about this on Monday, BT? Yeah. He didn't even have to say, I messed up. All he had to say was, I'm glad Tony made the shot.
Yes.
Just acknowledge that it was the right call. You know what I mean? Take yourself out of it because you don't want to admit you were wrong. Just say, Phil made the right call. Or good job, Tony Kukoc, knocking that down.
That would alleviate any tension and change the narrative a little bit. I'm with
you. Take the high road, man.
All right. Yep. Coming up here. All right. So the NBA sent out a survey to the GMs laying out all possible formats. There is a lot to unpack for the return. There are some things that will never happen. There are some things that could. We'll tell you what's real, what's not. We'll get that next. Ba-dee-da-dee-da.
Stop. Can't go any farther than that, BT.
Yeah, no further. Otherwise, you're going to have to hit dumb buttons. No further than that. La-dee-da-dee-da. So, we've got some options. You ready for it? And there's a lot of them. You ready?
Yep.
All right, so the league sent out a survey to all 30 GMs and the various options that are on the table for a return to this NBA season. They include an expanded playoff field, picking up the regular season, and a resumption there, as well as asking GMs how late they'd be willing to go to finish the season. And one of the options is November 1st, which it's not going to happen, but just to let you know that there's all sorts of variants here. Here's the boiled down bullet points. I'm going to read you stuff, all right?
Go ahead.
And so I don't drone on and on, but as I transition, you tell me if you think it's viable.
Go ahead.
Okay. The first one, advance directly to the playoffs, 16 teams, 4 rounds, best of 7 series, with postseason teams based on the standings as of March 12th.
I would like that, actually.
Agree.
I think that has the most feasibility of almost anything I think you're going to say going forward.
Okay. A playoff plus option, which would be expanding the number of teams with the opportunity to play either through a play-in tournament, to determine the final seeds in the playoffs, because that's not solved yet, to be played by bubble teams, okay, or replacing the first round of the playoffs with a group stage.
I don't like the group stage too many, because I don't know how you execute that, you know, effectively and efficiently. And you could end up getting some teams that just have rust or have unfair, I don't know, disadvantage, end up losing out. And so it would
not
be
very high on that one.
I'm not, you know what, BT, it would be very interesting from a consumer standpoint. Like, I would, because there's no dog in the fight, right? Our team is not even, I can't even really claim them because I haven't been a fan of them since I've been here for 26 years, talking about the Knicks. But you know what I mean? We don't have a dog in the fight.
Well, I do, I think, but it would, I hear you. Oh, no, I don't. I know, because we wouldn't, yes.
Yeah, in this case, gotcha. We wouldn't. Yep. It would be interesting. I just don't know if it would be fair.
Well, to that point, the playoffs plus, they'd need to determine how many teams that would be. Would it be 18, 20, 22, or 24? And, you know, it would still omit, you know, my team, the Knicks, and some other bad teams, obviously. But say if it's 24, what I wouldn't want to see happen, and this could happen based on the early availability of rims and just to stay in basketball shape, if they bring 24 teams in there, right? I mean, there's a pretty decent chance a team that has no business being anywhere near a playoff game, you know, rips off a ridiculous upset because the team they're playing was in a state that was hit harder and was on virtual lockdown.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I don't want to see that either. I agree. The regular season resumes with all the teams, and all the teams play the same number of games.
Now, this is the one, if they don't care about, like, seriously disrupting 2020 and 2021, that's next season, I wouldn't mind seeing. I just think if they do that, BT, because we're not, I mean, they think they're going to start soon, relatively soon. I don't see it happening.
Yep.
I think you end up pushing 2021 in the 2020-21 season into 2021. And that just feels odd because then you're playing catch up for how long? You know what I mean? Like how quick are you 3 years till you catch back up and get back on a regular schedule? Like, what are you doing?
What they'd have to do is they'd then have to condense next season. Mm-hmm. So you start the catch-up process by condensing 82 to 70, whatever, which, by the way, I'm okay with at this point. You and I have talked about this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's too many back-to-backs. There's too many, like, there's ways to make it so that, like a Kawhi Leonard is not playing back-to-backs and not sitting out. And,
well, not only that, there's just too many meaningless games. They've done a better job of spacing out the back-to-backs. And
that's a good point.
The 4 games and 5-day road trip. What was it? Remember I told you I was watching the other night? They had on MSG, they had this thing called Garden Debuts. Remember I mentioned that on our show?
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Jackson's Garden Debut was a Knick back in 87, November, I think November 11th, 87. He won the Rookie of the Year out of St. John's. They're playing the Celtics, right? And I watched a decent chunk because we'd spent so much time on, you know, Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and something that Teague and I have done a lot on our show. You know, greatest players of all time. Obviously, there's no games to talk about now. So you kind of morph into, you know, remember when and the comparison list, which is fun for a limited amount of time. And Bird was just so, so bad. And I was stuck. Like, if you just tuned it in, you'd be like, man, this looks like Brad Lowhouse. Forget about Bird. But the point is, I remember, I guess it was the Celtics feed. So I guess it would have been Tommy Heinsohn. For whatever reason, they didn't have the Knick feed. It wasn't Marv. Nor was it Jim Carvelis, who was the broadcaster before that. But it basically, I think it was Heinsohn and whomever whoever his partner was at that night. They mentioned something like the Celtics were on an 11-day, 8-game journey. What?
Yeah.
Can you think about that. 8 games in 11 days in the NBA.
And it's not all the same city. Exactly. It is not all the same city.
Not all the same city.
Yeah.
So I hear you. I mean, it would bleed into 2021, and I'm a fan, you know, just I love basketball. So the more there is, the better for me. You know, I love the game. I don't want to see the opener be on Christmas. I want to see it. I don't need it in October, but I do need basketball in November. That would bother me if there's not. Certainly understanding a pandemic makes things fluid for sure. But, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know. This is something out there too, though. You resume the regular season with all 30 games plus a play-in. All teams play the same number of games played, followed by a play-in tournament, and then the traditional playoffs. seems interesting, but it seems a little too contrived for me, a little wacky.
I agree. It's like they're trying to mix, well, you guys missed out on the NCAA tournament. How about we have one for you? It's just in the pros. That's what it sounds. That's what it feels like, right?
Yep. And they gave the GM four possible finish dates. And this one's going to be interesting. So Labor Day, September 15th, October 1, October 15th, or November 1st. So, I mean, think about this. The season now starts in late October. If this season were to end, and November 1st seems almost fatalistic to anything being remotely salvageable. If it's pushed back to November 1, I don't even think they should waste their time personally, and they might not. But November 1st, could you imagine?
Yeah, that's a long, because how do you start the next season? I mean, you're not starting the next season until February.
Well, you can't.
Seriously, if you finish the season in November, you're starting a month later?
Well, think about this. The NBA Finals ends in right before the middle of June. So, you know, July, August, September, you have 3-month respite between the start of the next season. If it was November 1st, December, January, February 1st, I mean, no. I mean, at least if it's like the middle of September, you know, you can kind of start locking in maybe on that Christmas Day start, which I wouldn't love, but I would get it based on the circumstances. They got a lot to juggle, man. I mean, this is not an easy situation. I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yeah, really, and that's not even factoring in. This is just the general managers being surveyed. They still have to factor in what the hell the players want to do.
Correct.
Which a lot of them are going to say, I'm not so sure. We're ready yet.
That is true, man. That is true. A thawing in the return of college sports. That started to creep up a little bit. Also, get back to the DAC stuff. So if you want to chime in on that and you couldn't get in before, phones were busy, 855-212-4227. We'll roll with the Pippen stuff as well. And how late would you be okay with the NBA season resuming? Tiki and Tierney, final hour coming up, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.